Tom will finish his cookie before my talk is over. I am not extending it if you're taking your time. So as Tom had mentioned, and has been publicized, this week one's topic is a continuation of our looking at Catholic devotionals, and we decided to choose Stations of the Cross. Now, last year when I was here, in addition to the week one topics, and Tom said, oh, by the way, Father, we also have these soup and soul foods we love you to. And it's like, okay. So I did a soup and soul food topic on the Stations of the Cross. And I know there's a lot of you that probably attended that as well. So I thought to myself, okay, I could be really lazy and just pull that presentation out and go through it. But I decided to do something different. As I was looking at that presentation, I noted that I had a slide up that talked about the scriptural Stations of the Cross. And all of a sudden I thought, you know what, maybe that's what I should do. You know, I've already talked about what I'll call now the traditional Stations of the Cross, stations that are in our church upstairs. And so I decided to make this talk on the scriptural-based Stations of the Cross. And so before I go on, let me just make sure, did everyone get a copy of this handout? If anyone needs a copy... Yeah. So you'll be able to tell Tom's it'll have the grease prints from his cookie. In any case, that's what I decided to do. So first off, let's just do a quick review of the traditional Stations of the Cross. So these originated in pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So people decided they wanted to actually walk in the footsteps of Jesus, most especially along the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, the path that Jesus walked in his crucifixion. And so many people went to Jerusalem to do just that. But of course, not everyone can get to Jerusalem, and there was a desire for some people to still be able to experience Jesus's walk along the Via Dolorosa. And so, what ended up happening was during the 15th and 16th centuries, Franciscans began to build outdoor shrines throughout Europe, depicting the counterparts that are actually in the Holy Lands in Jerusalem. And so these outdoor shrines were an opportunity for people to still walk the path of Jesus's passion without having to travel to the Holy Lands. In 1686, Pope Innocent XI granted the right for Franciscans to begin to erect them in their churches. So as I said before, these were just outdoor shrines, but now members of the Franciscan orders could start putting images or stations inside of the churches that were under their patronage. And so it wasn't until 1862 that all bishops throughout the world were given the authority to grant permission for the stations to be erected in their churches. And so even though the origins of this can be traced at least to the 15th century, if not earlier, the practice of actually them being in churches is actually, in the course of a 2,000-year history of our church, is actually fairly recent, since the 19th century. I would struggle at this point to think of a church, not a chapel, but a church here in the Archdiocese that does not have the Stations of the Cross inside. So that's the traditional Stations of the Cross. That's the one as I said, that we have upstairs in the church. That's the ones that we pray on Fridays here during Lent. But now let's move on to the history of the scriptural Stations of the Cross. So this was inaugurated by St. John Paul II on Good Friday in 1991. So the tradition has it, the Pope, in the evening on Good Friday, goes to the Roman Colosseum, and they actually align the stations along what I would call the upper tier of the Colosseum. And they walk that path. Someone, probably a deacon, because, you know, they're supposed to serve, is carrying an actual wooden cross, and the Pope follows, and they stop at each station along the way and say the prayers, etc. But in 1991, Pope John Paul II decided to use a different set of Stations of the Cross, what we now call the scriptural Stations of the Cross. And part of this is this fact. Out of the 14 traditional Stations of the Cross, only 8 of them have clear scriptural foundation. So in other words, when you think of the events of Jesus' passion, okay, out of the 14 Stations of the Cross, only 8 of them can you actually look in the passion accounts out of all 4 Gospels and find that mentioned. Okay? In a few moments, we'll talk a little bit more about that as I show you all the stations again. So the scriptural stations is a version of this devotional that more closely aligns with the biblical accounts. When you look at our 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, okay, there is one event that is in great detail mentioned in all 4 of the Gospels, that is the passion and death of our Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, Mark's Gospel has nothing to say about Jesus' birth, okay? Has nothing to say about it. But the passion is a very big part of his gospel. And Matthew and Luke are the 2 gospel writers that actually talk about Jesus' birth. And John's gospel also doesn't mention his birth. But in all four of them, in great detail, it mentions the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because that is the reason he came, okay? And so the Pope's reasoning for, shall we say, introducing, and when I say introducing, I didn't find anyone that wanted to claim that he actually wrote these. But when you're a Pope, it doesn't matter if you have a ghostwriter. So they use the word inaugurate on them. Okay, which probably means somebody else wrote them. But it gives us an opportunity as we look at the stations. I think that the scriptural Stations of the Cross looks at a greater expanse of the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, now this in no way says that the traditional stations are not something we should worry about anymore. Okay? I would assume the scriptural stations might be in a church somewhere. I have no clue that that's the case or where it is, okay? But I can guarantee you in just about every church you can find what I refer to as the traditional stations. Now, in 2007, Pope Benedict approved these set of stations for meditation and public celebration. So now he is basically taking this devotional and raising it to that level of, it's a good idea to celebrate these. It's a good idea to pray these. It's a good idea to meditate on these. Now the one thing, I was thinking of this earlier today, and I did not have the time to try to do any more research about it. I don't know if this permission or this approval, I don't know if that meant now you can put those in churches? I don't know. Don't know the answer to that. We're not taking down our station, so we'll just start right from there. But in any case, but he recognizes this is an important devotional. And people have been, since 1991, have been experiencing this devotional as something that was good to meditate on, good to prepare themselves for Christ, for the celebration of Easter. And so because of that, he decided to give the official approval to it. It doesn't mean before that happened that, you know, you couldn't pray it. I mean, but what it meant was, now the Pope has said, this is something useful for your spiritual life. Okay? So the history is very brief. So now let's go on and move on to this slide. So this slide has the traditional stations of the cross. What I have done is I have bold-faced several of these stations to indicate these are found in the scriptural stations of the cross. So Pilate condemning Jesus to death, Jesus accepting his cross, Simon of Cyrene helping to carry the cross, Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem, Jesus is nailed to the cross, he dies on the cross, and he's placed in the tomb. So those are all stations that you will find in the scriptural ones. So for example, there are three stations here about Jesus falling. It's not in any of the four biblical accounts of the Passion where it says he fell. Didn't mean it didn't happen, but it's not in the Bible. Okay? Jesus meets his mother Mary. It's never in the Bible that meeting occurred on the way to Calvary. But of course it did occur after Jesus was nailed to the cross. Okay? Veronica wiping the face of Jesus, again, doesn't show up in the it doesn't show up in the Bible. There is one station up here that actually does show up in Scripture, but is not included in these set of stations, and that is station 10. Jesus is stripped of his clothes. It's right there in the story. Talks about how he's stripped, and then the soldiers throw dice because they don't want to rip his cloak. But as we'll see in a moment, when I bring up the scriptural stations, there are other events. Apparently, they wanted to maintain the number 14 of them, but there are other events that they decided would be better. Better stations to reflect upon. Okay? So, here are the traditional stations of the cross. So now, let's move to this next slide. So here are the scriptural stations of the cross. So just quickly to run through them. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, betrayed by Judas, is arrested. Jesus is condemned by the Sanhedrin. Jesus is denied by Peter. Jesus is judged by Pilate. So, we have to get to station 5 before we get to do station 1 of the traditional, which is Jesus is condemned by Pilate. Okay? 6, Jesus is scourged and crowned with thorns. 7, Jesus bears his cross. Jesus is helped by Simon the Cyrenian to carry the cross. Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. Jesus is crucified. Jesus promises his kingdom to the good thief. Jesus speaks to his mother and the disciple. Jesus dies on the cross. And Jesus is placed in the tomb. So those are the 14 stations of the cross based on sacred scripture. So station 1, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I have to admit, this is one of the reasons I do like this set of stations. Because, undeniably, Jesus' passion begins in the Garden of Gethsemane. his impassionate plea to the Father, "Take this cup away from me." And he said it, prayed for an hour. I think it was 59 minutes of that before he finally said, "But thy will be done." And of course, I believe it's in Luke's gospel where his sweat was pouring from his face like drops of blood. And an angel came to minister to him. He was so in anguish. This is the beginning of his passion. Okay? Now, keep in mind, the traditional stations of the cross are about walking the Via Dolorosa. The Garden of Gethsemane is clear across the Kidron Valley at the foot of the Mount of Olives. Okay? So if you are walking the path that Jesus took, you begin at Pilate's palace and then continue on. Okay? So I think, so that's the reason why we don't start in the Garden of Gethsemane. But this one does. And I do think that in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus, his humanity is so present. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the pain he's going to go through. He doesn't want to do that. Okay? But it's up to him. And he willingly chose to follow God's will for him. Okay? Also in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we move on to station two, Jesus, betrayed by Judas, is arrested. So we already have the emotional anguish part of the passion. And now we have the devastating blow that one of his closest friends, one of the people he selected, has betrayed him, has turned him over to the authorities. I mean, that's a devastating blow. When we think of a betrayal by a close friend, or a betrayal by even someone closer, say a spouse, that is devastating. And so now, his passion continues. With this second station. And he, of course, is arrested and taken away. The third station, Jesus is condemned by the Sanhedrin. So, he first is taken before the leaders of the Jewish religion at that time, the council, the Sanhedrin. And it is in front of them that they are starting to throw all these accusations and everything. And finally, they asked him, "So are you the Son of God?" And of course, his answer causes them to say, "Blasphemy." And the punishment for blasphemy is death. Okay? And so now, he has gone through the anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's been betrayed by a friend. And now, the leaders of the faith have now said, "You are guilty." He's even been betrayed by the leaders of the Jewish faith. Now we move into another part of the passion. Jesus is denied by Peter. So on the one hand, we have Judas, who has betrayed him, but now we have Peter. Now Peter, on the one hand, has kind of stuck around where the other disciples have fled. But Peter has kind of stuck around, albeit at a distance. But each and every time that he is challenged, he says, "I don't even know who you're talking about. I don't know the man." So he is now, so it's even deeper than the betrayal by Judas. Because Peter just says, and by the way, the one who Jesus has said, "You are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So again, another devastating part of his passion. We haven't even gotten to the point where he is being, which is of course coming up. We haven't even gotten to the part of this physical part of the passion. This is all betrayal and the emotional anguish and everything that leads up to that. The fifth one, as I said, the very first station from the traditional set, Jesus is judged by Pilate. Okay? And so Pilate is basically, you know, in the gospel accounts, we see Pilate's kind of just thinking like, why is he here? What are these people trying to do? I mean, he's trying to look for any way he can just to let Jesus go. And of course, he has this brilliant idea about, well, I know what I'll do. I'll have my guard beat him so much they're going to have pity for him and they'll let him go. Okay? Which, of course, is the next station. Jesus is scourged and crowned with thorns. But of course, that's not what the leaders of the people are wanting. And so they whip up, in a frenzy, the crowd who's asking, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate, being a statesman that doesn't want to have a riot on his hands, he doesn't want to have to call his soldiers in and start killing a bunch of people because the peace has been jeopardized, accedes to the will of the crowd. And so Jesus is first scourged, and then after Pilate has judged him as guilty, then his soldiers contend to mock him and beat him, and of course crown him with thorns. Now we've entered into the physical part of Jesus' passion. He now is beaten. And for those who have seen The Passion of the Christ, which it's a very difficult movie to watch, I will admit, but you know, the beating that he has taken at that point, I mean, almost kills him. Almost kills him because of the blood loss and because of the pain and everything. I mean, that's the kind of beating we're talking about. And so now we move into station 7 where Jesus bears his cross. And so now he has to carry the own instrument of his execution all the way along that Via Dolorosa, up the hill, through the gates, and up the hill to the top of this hill called Calvary, where he will be crucified. Once again, the shame of not only walking along with the crowd through the streets of Jerusalem, but also carrying the cross along on his back. And the A station, which again is another one that comes from the traditional set, as I said before, Jesus is so wounded and so beaten that the Roman soldiers don't want him to die right here. Instead, they get a passerby to assist him in carrying the cross. And so Simon the Cyrenian is enlisted to help Jesus carry his cross so that his execution can occur. Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. You know, I've already talked a little bit about the pain, the anguish, everything he's been going through. And yet, he's trying to comfort these women who are crying, who are wailing for him. He says, don't wail for me, wail for yourself and your children. He tries to give them some comfort in the midst of his own passion. Now I will say this, because of the way the scriptural stations of the cross are aligned and because of the events here, we go from Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem to crucified. It's very quick. All right? But in any case, Jesus is crucified. He's nailed to the cross. He's lifted up on the cross right next to the two thieves. But station 11, Jesus promises his kingdom to the good thief. You know, the good thief does not want to join the whole crowd in condemning Jesus, much like the thief on Jesus' opposite side is doing. Instead, he tells him, said, look, we are guilty. We deserve this. This man is innocent. And then he looks at Jesus and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus I sell you this day, you will be with me in paradise. So Jesus again is already, even in the midst of the pain and the suffering that he's already experienced and now is experiencing because of the act of crucifixion, is still ministering to someone. Now, I mentioned before on the traditional stations how I believe in station 4 Jesus meets his mother, but when you look at sacred scripture, it finally occurs at this point. And Jesus is speaking, sees his mother and the disciple he loved, the beloved disciple John, and said, "Woman, here is your son, here is your mother." So on the one hand, making sure his mother is taken care of, because he is the only son after all. But secondly also, in a very symbolic way, is all of my followers, represented by John, your mother is now my mother. The Virgin Mary is now our mother, just because we are disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the next station is Jesus dies on the cross. So that happens a little later in this set of the scriptural-based stations of the cross. And finally, Jesus is placed in the tomb. So, as I said before, each and every one of these events we can easily find in sacred scripture in one or more of the gospel accounts of Jesus' passion and death. As I said, it doesn't mean that this does not negate the traditional stations of the cross, but it's something that is offered to us as another way to meditate on the love that Jesus has for us by meditating on his passion, death, and then, of course, resurrection. And so what I decided to do this evening, so typically when I finish my talk, we would go upstairs and do our devotion. But what I decided to do this evening, because A, we don't have the scriptural stations upstairs anyway, and B, some of our Faith First classers are coming over to pray those stations, I decided that we would go ahead and pray those down here. Or these down here. Okay? So Ronald had passed this out. These are the... Yes, if anyone need a copy? So these are the scripture passages associated with each of these 14 stations of the cross. And that's why I wanted to spend time going through and talking about the stations, because I want this to be a prayerful praying through these stations. I don't intend to do any commentary as we go through it. Let me do this. Let me bring up the first slide so you can kind of get a feeling for what we're going to do. So I'll begin each station by mentioning the name of the station. I will say, "We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you," and then you all will respond, "Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world." And then I'm going to ask for a volunteer to read the scripture passage associated with that station. And then when you finish that, I have a prayer associated with that station, and then we'll move on. All right? There are 14 stations. There's more than 14 out of there, out of 14 of you out there, and so in any case. So before we actually move into this, questions about the scriptural stations of the cross before we actually pray them. Yes?
So from what you said, you don't have to have... Oh, I was just talking about the number of stations. You don't have to have
Well, so her question was, is it a requirement to have it in your, have the traditional set in your church? I don't, I'm not sure that it's a requirement. And I definitely know of a couple of instances where churches were built, and that was one of the last things that was put in. And the church actually was dedicated by the bishop, and I'm thinking of the church that I was at, church that Mary and Mike were members of, and that's why they're smirking over here. Because we didn't get those stations for about 10 months, if I remember right. So anyway, now they're up and everything. So no, I mean, I don't think it's a requirement. Because again, what was granted in 1868 was permission for bishops to allow it. So allowing is different than mandating. So I don't think it's a requirement. But as I said, I would be hard-pressed. I can't think of a church, at least in our diocese, that doesn't have it. And again, I say church, not necessarily a chapel.
I remember when I was in high school, mm-hmm. and I was an all-girl school in Cleveland, that in our chapel, it was done out of metal, and it was gold, and it was just the rocky rocks, and then a cross.
No, no, definitely.
This was wonderful.
Yeah, no, definitely not in chapels.
Okay.
Definitely not in chapels. I can assure you that. Doesn't mean you can't put them in there, but all right. Other questions.
An idea of how far did he walk? I mean, I've never been to Rome. I mean, it's just a.
Okay, people that have walked the Via Dolorosa, help me out here. I
don't
know if
it would be a long way or a short.
Did it take
about an hour?
No, well, yeah, but I mean, we would stop along the way to pray each station. I would say if you just walked it, I'm sure I could easily do it in 20 minutes in terms of the distance. I mean, Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem, it's not that big. I mean, you know, it's Bible portrays it as a great city and everything, but it's not that big. And we also have to remember something. What we see of Jerusalem has been expanded since the time of Jesus. And I think, and it was hard to visualize things. But then one day we were at the Israeli National Museum. I can't remember the name of it. But outside, and this was built in the 1800s, outside was a scale model of Jerusalem of the time of Jesus. And I would say it probably went from here almost to that wall. So this is a big, big thing, and you could walk all around it. But you could clearly see the gate that Jesus would have walked out in the hill of Calvary. This is before another set of walls was built that encompassed Calvary, and obviously before the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which now totally encompasses the hill of Calvary. Okay.
According to Google, Via Dolorosa says it's a half mile.
It's not far from that standpoint. Okay. Yeah, Karen just pointed out. Now, if we were walking. The scriptural based one, then yeah, it would be a lot farther because, as I said, it begins in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is across the Kidron Valley. So you would go from there, you would cross the Kidron Valley, but you would head to the left, where you would go to the traditional place where the Sanhedrin Council was held, the high priest. Residence, and then you would head the other direction to Pilate's palace, where the Via Dolorosa began. So, all right, okay. Any more questions before we move into our prayer? All right, can I? All right, so Can I have a volunteer for station one, please? All right, Mary, thank you. I'll hand you the microphone when we get to that. All right, let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The first station, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter, "So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Lord, grant us your strength and wisdom, that we may seek to follow your will in all things. The second station, Jesus, betrayed by Judas, is arrested. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Then, while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying, "The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely." He came and immediately went over to him and said, "Rabbi." And he kissed him. At this they laid hands on him and arrested him.
Lord, grant us the courage of our convictions, that our lives may faithfully reflect the good news you bring. The third station, Jesus is condemned by the Sanhedrin. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
When day came, the council of elders of the people met, both chief priests and scribes, and they brought him before their Sanhedrin. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." But he replied to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe, and if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further need have we for testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth."
Lord, grant us your sense of righteousness, that we may never cease to work to bring about the justice of the kingdom that you promise. The fourth station, Jesus is denied by Peter. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it in front of everyone, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." As he went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." Again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them. Even your speech gives you away." At that he began to curse and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." He went out and began to weep bitterly.
Lord, grant us the gift of honesty, that we may not fear to speak the truth, even when difficult. The fifth station, Jesus is judged by Pilate. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
The chief priests with the elders and the scribes, that is, the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said to him in reply, "You say so." The chief priests accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him, "Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of." Jesus gave him no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas and handed Jesus over to be crucified.
Lord, grant us discernment, that we may see as you see, not as the world sees. The sixth station, Jesus is scourged and crowned with thorns. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and placed it on his head and clothed him in a purple cloak. And they came to him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him repeatedly.
Lord, grant us patience in times of suffering, that we may offer our lives as a sacrifice of praise. The seventh station, Jesus bears the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
When the chief priests and the guards saw Jesus, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no guilt in him." They cried out, take him away, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross himself, went out to what is called the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha.
Lord, grant us strength of purpose, that we may faithfully bear our crosses each day. The eighth station, Jesus is helped by Simon the Cyrenian to carry the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
They pressed into service a passerby, Simon the Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross.
Lord, grant us willing spirits, that we may be your instruments on earth. The ninth station, Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
Now, one of the disciples hanging over there, a large crowd of people following Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. For indeed, the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Lord, grant us gentle spirits that we may comfort those who mourn. The tenth station, Jesus is crucified. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
Lord, grant us merciful hearts, that we may bring your reconciliation and forgiveness to all. The 11th station, Jesus promises his kingdom to the good thief. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Lord, grant us perseverance, that we may never stop seeking you. The 12th station, Jesus speaks to his mother and the disciple. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there, whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home.
Lord, grant us constancy, that we may be willing to stand by those in need. The 13th station, Jesus dies on the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon because of an eclipse of the sun. Then the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last.
Lord, grant us trust in you, that when our time on earth is ended, our spirits may come to you without delay. The 14th station, Jesus is placed in the tomb. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
Well, this evening there came a rich man from
Arimathea
named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance of the tomb and departed.
Lord, grant us your compassion, that we may always provide for those in need. Jesus is raised from the dead. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you.
Because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
Lord Jesus Christ, your passion and death is the sacrifice that unites earth and heaven and reconciles all people to you. May we who have faithfully reflected on these mysteries follow in your steps and so come to share your glory in heaven, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right, well, thank you for that. I hope you have enjoyed praying a different Stations of the Cross. If you want to take those sheets with you, please feel free. And this concludes our time together tonight. If you have children that you need to pick up, I think that they will be brought over to the narthex. So if you go up to the narthex here, they're probably about 15 minutes away. So enjoy the quiet. All right, thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Father.